This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
A few weeks ago now, maybe actually it might have been back in April, this year is going so fast, I preached a word about you've already got it. Does anyone remember that? I'm going to recap so you'll remember. The main point of that message was Jesus has already done everything that we ever need him to do for us. And he's already given us everything we already need to receive from him. So we established in that message that we have everything we need to live a godly life. We already have it. There is no more of Jesus that he can give us. He can't give us any more of himself. He gave it all when he went to the cross. We need to change the way we think. Some of the scriptures that I talked about last time were Ephesians 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. That's what the word says, has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. If you are united with Christ this morning, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. If you're not united with Christ this morning, hang around afterwards and we'll introduce you to him. But looking around this room this morning, I would feel pretty safe saying we are all united with Christ. So I'm talking to each and every one of you. When I say this morning, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing because you're united with Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you, also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. How amazing is the word? What a verse of scripture. For in Christ lives the fullness, everything about God in human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." And that's what I talked about when I preached a couple of weeks about saying, you've already got it. It is finished. We established that what he came to achieve, what he came to do was restore kingdom. It was to restore everything that was lost when we gave over our rights, when we gave that away. When Adam and Eve fell in the garden, there was already Jesus came. And when he said, it is finished, he didn't just forgive you for your sins. He came to restore everything, your health, everything about your finances, everything about your life. Your sins were forgiven, but it didn't stop there. Sometimes we think that Jesus came to forgive our sins. Yes, he did, but that wasn't all of it. He came to restore everything about the kingdom. In that message, I established as well that the kingdom of God, the Bible tells us so many times how the kingdom of God works, and it says the kingdom of God works like seed, time, and harvest. We have already been given everything we need to live a godly life. We received it in seed form in our spirit. So everything in your spirit, you know, in a seed, there is everything that whatever is going to be a tree, there's everything in that seed already that just needs to be bought out to make the tree. Things don't get added in later. It's already all contained in that, and that's what's in your spirit. When you were born again, your spirit man was made perfect. There's nothing more to be done in your spirit man. So if that's the case, how do I get that out of the inside of me? How do I get that seed to come out and be reality in my life? If I've already got everything, if Jesus isn't going to give me any, if there's nothing more of him he can give, if I've already got all I'm ever going to need, how do I make, where's the reality of that in my life? How do we get that out? Seed, time, and harvest. So we understand the seed and we understand the harvest. Today we're going to look a little bit at what we do in the time. In the meantime, what do we do? When you were born again, your spirit man was made perfect. Bev spoke about it so wonderfully in communion last week, if you were here. She talked about justification and sanctification. Justification, when you were born again, you were justified. Your spirit man was made perfect. Justification, as Bev shared last week, is a legal term. It's a legal thing. Romans 3, 23 to 26 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. There was a legal document against you. All have sinned, every single one of us, everyone that's ever lived, anyone that ever will live, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There were legal papers, the law that was given. None of us, so anytime you'd broken the law, there was another thing against you. There was another thing against you. It was all written down. The enemy had hold of that. But Jesus, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. I love this scripture. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I always get this picture when I read that scripture of Jesus taking that bit of paper, that thing that was against me. Every time I'd broken the law, he took that law, and every time I'd broken it, every time I had sinned and fallen short, he got that bit of paper from the enemy. He took it, he tore it up, and he marched through the street. That's the picture I get of him marching through the street and saying, see, there is nothing more. It's all gone. Justification, in simple terms, mean just as if you'd never sinned. We can all remember that. To be justified means you were made just as if you'd never sinned. Your sins were not covered up. Your sins were not buried. Your sins are not there for God to remember and bring up against you. They're gone. You were justified just as if you'd never sinned. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. When you were born again, you were born again. I think we say these words so often in our Christianese that we forget what they mean. That's amazing. Have you stopped to think about when a baby is born, what that's brand new, perfect, the way it was designed. When you are born again, you were born again. All things were made new. That's an amazing thing. When you were born again, you did receive a perfect spirit, but you didn't get a new body. I still got the same one. Gotten a bit older, gotten a bit fatter, gotten a bit skinnier, I've done lots of things with it, short hair. My body, when I got born again, my body didn't change. When I got born again, my mind didn't change. You are three parts, body, soul, and spirit. When you were born again, your spirit was made perfect, justified, but you did not get a new body. Did anyone get a new body when they were born again? We are going to get a new body. We are going to get a new body. But when I was born again, I didn't receive that. I received a brand new perfect spirit. The spirit of God, the very spirit of God came and dwells in me. Man, but I did not get a new body and I did not get a new mind. So what do we do between seed and harvest? We renew our mind. Sanctification. Bev quoted Kevin Connor last week. I love this. Justification is one thing. We understand justification, that there was nothing we could do. There was no way we could earn it. We were saved by grace through faith. There was nothing you can do. We understand justification. And if we've been a Christian for some time, we do understand that our sins are not held against us, that our sins weren't covered up. They were done away with. We were made white as snow. We're new creation. We understand that. Justification is one thing. Sanctification is an altogether different thing. What is sanctification? To sanctify is literally to set apart for a particular use in special work and to make holy or sacred. Another definition I read said sanctification is the state of proper functioning. To sanctify something or someone is to set that person or thing apart for the use intended by its designer. If you're using a pencil to draw, that pencil is sanctified. That's what it was made to do. That's what it's being used for. We are to be sanctified. How do we become sanctified? Bev quoted this scripture last week, John 17, 16 to 19. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. This is you he's talking about. Because later on in the next verse, Jesus says, I'm not just praying this for these disciples that are here, I'm praying it for all of those who are yet to come. You're all of those that were yet to come. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Then it says, your word is truth. How simple is the Bible? Does anyone not understand that? That's pretty plain. Jesus says they're in the world, but they're not of the world. Sanctify them or set them apart by your truth. And then he goes on to tell us what that truth is. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. We have received everything we need to live a godly life. We need to go. A lot of us have been stuck in seed. We've been stuck in seed and not understanding why that is not coming to harvest in our lives. It's because in the meantime, we have not been renewing our mind. We have to renew our mind. Adam's message last week about the word, that spot on. That is, we got to get the word into us. We got to get the truth into us. Andrew Womack says, and I really like this quote, he says, after being born again, the rest of the Christian life is renewing my mind to what is already a reality in my spirit. So from the time that you're born again to the time you go to be with the Lord in eternity, that between seed time and harvest, that whole time, the rest of your Christian walk is to renew your mind to what is already a reality in your spirit. Being sanctified or set apart is in the state of proper functioning as intended by our designer is the renewing of our mind. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. The word conformed is a crazy word that I can't pronounce in Greek. I can't do it, but it's Strong's 4862 if you want to look it up, and it's a derivative of the word that means to fashion alike, that is to conform to the same pattern, to conform to fashion self according to. So that's what to conform means. You just make yourself exactly like that. If I was, you know, to conform to Iris, I would become exactly, I would pattern myself after her. I would be like her. To transform means, it comes from the word metamorpho, which I can pronounce, which we get our word metamorphosis from. It means to change, to transfigure, or to transform. So this verse in Hebrews, in Romans 12, tells us, don't conform to this world. Don't fit in. We as Christians, Mombolt Christian Fellowship, and all of us as individuals should not fit into this world. We should stick out. We should look different. We shouldn't be able to just be in a group of people and everyone not know that we're Christians. It says to transform, be transformed. How do we change? By renewing our mind. Stop thinking the way the world thinks. Don't be like the world. Don't fit in. Be changed. How? Renew your mind. Stop thinking the way the world thinks. Stop looking at what the world looks at. Stop listening to what the world's saying. What is God saying? What does He say about that? In your spirit, I'm going to say this so many times this morning, you have already everything you need for living a godly life. You are perfect. This is, we already even just could get stuck on that. How many times a day do I have to tell myself in my spirit, I am perfect? Stop thinking of yourself as a poor little old sinner saved by grace. Yes, that's true. We were a sinner and you were saved by grace, but we get stuck in this, oh, I'm just a man, I'm just a woman, how can I help myself? You are not just a man, you are not just a woman. The Holy Spirit lives in you. The very essence of God takes up a third of you. Your spirit is supernatural. When I went to bed last night, I was laying awake, sort of just thinking over this morning and the message, and I just had this feeling that something supernatural was going to happen this morning. And I felt a bit odd about that. I felt a bit spooky about that. Something, I was thinking, what's going to happen? And this morning in my quiet time, the Holy Spirit says, of course something supernatural is going to happen this morning because I'm supernatural. The Holy Spirit is supernatural. You are supernatural. You are not just natural. You are not just a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. The Holy Spirit lives in you. It's amazing to me, as Pam said, that God would come when He could live anywhere, that He would choose this, that He would choose me, that He would choose you, that He would choose Mombolk. Oh, my goodness. We have to, how many times a day should we be telling ourselves what's in our spirit so that it comes out of us? Don't be like the world. You are just as if you'd never sinned. Just as Jesus is, so are we. But your mind is carnal. It needs to be made new. Can a Christian be carnal? What does carnal mean? Yes, I believe a Christian can be carnal. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 3:1, it says, and I, brethren, so he's speaking in Corinthians, he's speaking to a church. He's not speaking to unbelievers. He's speaking to the body of Christ and he's saying to his brethren, I can't speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. The word carnal means pertaining to the flesh, that is body, temporal, unregenerate, carnal, fleshly. Can we be? We think of carnal as being something really bad, or that's carnal. Carnal is anything that's to do with the flesh, anything that's to do with your body. Carnal, pertaining to, characterized by the flesh or the body, its passions and its appetites. It means not spiritual, merely human, temporal, worldly. The only thing that is stopping you from experiencing the life of God that's within you is your brain. It's your mind. It's all in your head. The battle, we've heard it before, the battle is in our mind. Jesus has won every victory. Now it's up to us. Your mind is carnal. Your mind was not made new at the time that you were born again. If you were born again when you were 50, then you've had 50 years of living, thinking a certain way, thinking the way the world thinks. That didn't just change overnight. You need to get into the Word, find out what the Word says, change your mind. And you are the only one who can do that. I am not responsible for you changing your mind or renewing your mind. David, Bev, Adam, any of the leaders, any your husband, your wife, your kids, it is your it is not even God's responsibility. It's your responsibility to change your mind. He is not going to do it. If you sit there and pray, Lord, change my mind, you may as well sit there and pray all day, I think, because he says, I have given you already everything you need to live a godly life, and you receive all this through the knowledge of him who called us to himself. How do we receive it all? Through the knowledge of him. How do you find out about him? In the word. It is your, he is not going to change your mind. He is not just going to pop new thoughts into your head. Doesn't work like that, where you can just take a pill and, you know, we want that sometimes. It's your responsibility to change your mind. It's your responsibility to get into the word. And if you are not experiencing, and I'm speaking to myself here, so that's why I can be so bold about this. If we are not experiencing the life that God has put inside of us, then it's because we're not thinking right. What is in my spirit is perfect. God didn't do anything wrong. He didn't give me lack. He didn't miss anything out. I didn't get at the end of the line and he gave me less than you got, or vice versa. You have already got it. And if we are not experiencing the life that God wants and designed for us to have, then you are not thinking right. And that can be a hard thing for us to hear sometimes. That's not a condemning thing. That's the truth. Sometimes we get afraid in church to speak the truth because we might upset someone. We might say, make someone uncomfortable. Well, if you're uncomfortable today, I'm sorry about that. But there's been plenty of times where I've sat in church and been made feel uncomfortable. And that's what's made me go and change my mind. You need to hear the truth. The truth is, if we are not experiencing the joy, the peace, all the things that God has said are ours, that he's already given us, it's because you are not thinking right. It's not that God didn't hear your prayer. It's not that you didn't pray right. It's not that you haven't. You're not thinking right. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You can tell what you've been thinking by what you're reaping. I want to have a look at an Old Testament story. As soon as I read that, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I thought of this passage in Numbers. So let's have a look there, Numbers 13. You know what the beauty of all this is? If you have been thinking the wrong way, all you've got to do is change your mind. Change your mind. We make things so hard. We make things so hard for ourselves. Just stop doing what you were, stop thinking what you were thinking before and start thinking something different. It's really not that hard. It's, well, it can be difficult because we've become so patterned to thinking a certain way, but it is simple and it is doable because you have the Holy Spirit in you and you have the Word of God. Just change your mind. Numbers 13. Now, I'm not going to read all of this. Numbers 13 is where the Lord spoke to Moses. I will read verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So here we see the Lord says to Moses, I want you to send out spies into the land which I am giving to the children of Israel. He made it clear from the outset, I am giving you this land. This is it. This is what I am giving to you. The spies go in, we know the story, they check out the place and they come back after they've gotten a whole lot of grapes and fruit and all that stuff, and they come back and they say, let's read verse 27. They told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let's go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak come from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." In their minds, they had made up their mind already that they couldn't do it, that they were grasshoppers, and so because of what they thought in their heart, that's how it was. But what were they doing? They were being conformed to the world. They were being carnal. They were going by what they could see, hear, touch, taste, and smell. That's carnal. They're the five carnal senses. You're not carnal. The Bible tells you we don't walk like that. We walk by faith, not by sight. They didn't do that. They were conforming themselves to the world's view. They had forgotten the word of the Lord, which says, "I am giving you this land." They said that we are not strong enough. They are stronger than we. Yes, they are stronger than we, but they're not stronger than he. He is stronger than we, but he's not stronger than he. They've forgotten that. They started thinking what the world was thinking, not what God was thinking or what God was saying. And so God is saying, "I've already given you this," but they're saying, "Oh, no, 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 no." How many times do we? God has said, "I have given you everything you need to live a godly life." "Oh, no, 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 you haven't given me everything at all, because I can't hear it, I can't see it, I can't touch it, I can't smell it, I can't taste it, so you mustn't have given me all." Well, that's being carnal. The Bible says you walk by faith. By faith, my Bible says that I have everything I need. So I'm going to walk like that. I don't care what it smells like or looks like or sounds like or feels like. My Bible says I walk by faith. And by faith, I believe that I have everything I need to live a godly life. You have everything you need to live a godly life. What have you been thinking about lately? Is what you think based on what you see, hear, taste, smell, and touch? We are not, we are supernatural. We are not merely human. The world just doesn't happen to us. Things, yes, we face things just like the world does, but we shouldn't fit in. We're not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be a different person. Think a different way. Get a different result. And it's going to take time. The word tells us that. You've got to reprogram renewing your mind. You've got to reprogram the way you think. When something comes against you, when the doctor gives you a report, when your bank balance says something, when you're cranky at your kids and there's not much joy there, you know, do you look at that and say, "Oh, well, then you mustn't have given me everything"? No, you have given me everything I need to live a godly life. That's what the word says. And if you don't know that, if you haven't read that, if you haven't got that in your spirit, the Holy Spirit can't remind you of what you haven't learnt. He says he will remind you of what has been told to you. So it's your responsibility to renew your mind. Start thinking a different way. I don't know how that works. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't understand how that works, but I don't need to understand. And you don't need to understand. Stop trying to figure everything out. Sometimes we get so busy trying to work everything out. Stop it. Stop doing that. Read the word, believe what the word says, and do it. Okay. What have you been thinking about lately? That's the challenge I want to leave you with this morning. And I don't want you to walk out of here this morning all down and sad. And I want you to change your mind. If you've realized this morning that I've been thinking a bit different, or I'm not seeing the evidence of that in my life, well, then change your mind about it. Get into the Word. Find out what the Word says about your situation, whatever it is. I know that all of us are facing situations. There are things, struggles in our lives, sickness, relationship issues. We're not immune from any of all that. The Bible says we're in the world. Jesus said, I'm not praying that. Not once did Jesus say he would take you out of that situation. He says, I don't ask, Father, that you take them out of the world, but remind them that they're not like the world, even though they live in the world. Remind them they're not like the world. We're like the Father. We're like Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. So how do we get him? How do we get everything out of us? Renew our mind. Let's stand and pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your word that is alive and powerful, and it is the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify us. That's our prayer this morning. Sanctify us by your truth. And Holy Spirit, remind us that it's our responsibility to learn the truth, to get into the truth, to have the truth, your word, in our hearts, to meditate on it day and night. We spend so much time meditating on the things of the world. We want to meditate on your word, on what you say, and where our thinking has lapsed into our default mode. I pray that many times this week we will remember that Holy Spirit lives in each one of us, that we have everything we need for living a godly life. And we will walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website, or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.